This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir!
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott. Bart, give him the number.
The Yankees win. Glaber, you're my favorite.
Oh, don't start that. I'm still panicking. Don't even
Giancarlo Stanton, you're the Stanton, the leader of
I'm going to go.
1-800.
I'm going to debate. Would you just shut up?
1-800. 1-800, because when the Yankees win, they're 1-800.
It's 100.
You know what I'm saying? They keep the hope alive. 919-3776. Once again, for those that's a little slow, 1-800-919-3776.
How about
hit
social
us up.
Media?
If you can't get us with there, man, you want to get us on that tweet. You know what I'm saying? Bart and Han. Get us on that tweet. Then if you really can't get us on the tweet. Then you go get us on the Instagram. That's Bart and Han as well. Keep it simple for you guys out there. But if you want to get complex and you really want to get at us, get us on that Insta chat and that snap face.
Snap face, instant chat.
Guys, I understand, Anthony.
So as soon as I say that, my daughter comes down here, like, I don't pay the bills in this piece, and tell me I'm too damn loud because she in virtual school. Forget your virtual school and tell your teacher, shut up, just give you an A.
And understand, Anthony's going to be a little slow today on the trigger because it's an emotional day for him.
Yeah, he got a Yankee t-shirt on.
But no. Not about the Yankees. We'll get to the Yankees in a moment. We got plenty to get to today. And by the way, this is a no-guest show. So full buffet from the start. That is happening today. There's no guests at all, so we have that. We'll have a Blitz of Preven as well later in this hour. But I felt for Anthony. This is the first time for Anthony that he feels old.
Yeah, he's a baby.
Like, this is really it for him now. Like, he's officially now on the other side of being the young guy and the fan because Eli Manning retired after last season. That was his first hero. And now Henrik Lundqvist is about to be bought out by the Rangers, and that era also ends. And so for poor young Anthony, it's no longer young Anthony. Now he's just Anthony.
Now he has stories of like horror. I remember when I was like,
that's right, kid. I remember the king.
What happened? Right. what happened? Like when he got that Bleacher Report or whatever it is that he subscribed to, Rangers Update, and it hit him in his chest. Like, did he have to take a seat? Like, did he shed a tear? Did he have some Gatorade that he was drinking and pour a little out for Harry? You know, it was the first. You know what? It's about a year too late. They should have bought his ass out.
Well, they
couldn't.
This is the right time to do it, and we'll get deeper into it in Blitzer Preven. But it still is an end of an era, though. Here in New York, I mean, you see it, Eli. You know, Jeter a couple of years ago really hit a lot of people. Mo Rivera, that hit a lot of people.
Yeah, we need to refresh.
You know, obviously now with Eli and now Henrik Lundqvist, that's an era. In New York, where I think if Carmelo Anthony does what a lot of people think he's going to do, which is sign with the Knicks and then retire,
I thought he was staying.
Then you'd see like that's a real end of an era for one that area where in New York we didn't suck in New York from 07 through about 14. We at least had some teams doing stuff. You want to say 15? Throw the Mets in there too. Yeah. Fine. Like for a little run there, you had some teams that would win in championships or at least getting to the championship round or at least getting into the playoffs and making noise. You had that going on for a little bit, and all those guys that were doing it are pretty much, that era is over, and now we're hoping to get this new era. You want to talk about old Bart? How about this? RJ Santillo from the K Show sent me this text before. He said this popped up on his time hop, and it was a tweet that you put out on September 30th, which is today, 5 years ago today, 2015. And you wrote, listening to Han and Humpty, and as a former athlete, I always loved playing on the road in the playoffs, no distractions, no family ticket mess. whatever Jimmy we were talking Butler. About.
I was the first Jimmy Bucks. I told y'all I ain't play that.
And
stuff.
We were, Rick and I were fighting over like whether or not home field mattered for the Mets back then.
You know,
and, but
I
it's just
that.
You send a tweet listening to our show, and 5 years later, you're on the damn show.
Told you I've been a
you
fan.
You replaced him, or did I replace somebody?
I was like, it's, you know what? I'm tired of having to tweet this to Allen. I'm just going to join the damn show. That's the hell right. I'm going to do.
You'd call in and call me out on some stuff, too, so you might as well just join the show. All right, but let's begin it with I'll give the good news. The Yankees, this is why you get Gerrit Cole. What happened last night is exactly why you have a guy like Gerrit Cole, because when you jump all over a pitcher like Shane Bieber, like the Yankees did, like they clearly look. Kudos to Cashman's calculus crew,
the bees.
Those guys, they said they had the game plan. They told you what to look for, and the Yankees looked for it. That early fastball, early count fastball, first pitch fastball. On a lot of occasions, DJ LeMay, who jumps all over the one and he gets on base, and Aaron Judge jumps on the next one. Four pitches later, it's 2-0, and with Gerrit Cole on the mound, 2-0 is basically like insurmountable.
Yeah.
That's how you feel when you have a guy like Gerrit Cole. And the way he pitched, 13 strikeouts, he was a monster. And that is everything you wanted as a Yankee fan. It was a tone setter, like Cole said. And now I feel like, I'm sorry, Bart, tonight's that must win. It really is. It's a must win.
We just hope Tanaka got us good stuff, and we hope that Tanaka's not the
playoff
guy that they swing. You better hope that this ain't the one where they swing it early on a hanging slider. You know what I mean? Because sometimes he has a tendency, if he doesn't have a lot of control, to get it up and get it out early. And, you know, you hope that he can get you, you know, to that bullpen that is very well rested. So, you know, let's hope that it works in this order, because you do not want it to go to J.A. Happ. Come save the day. You don't want that type of smoke. You know what I mean? So you're hoping that you take care of business, you're able to rest, you continue to get that guys get healthy, be able to have a couple batting practices, you know what I mean? Stand ass attack on as he always does. But, you know,
at least he like, look, you want to rip on Stanton all you. I don't care. He looked terrible against Bieber. Looked lost against Bieber.
Because it's high pressure.
Well, he hasn't had any at bats. So he gets a homer and he feels good about himself, and now maybe that allows him to start getting himself into a rhythm. Gleyber Torres, too. Gleyber Torres wasn't looking good in some of those at-bats, and then Bieber makes a mistake against him, and Gleyber makes him pay.
Who's catching tonight? Who's catching tonight?
I haven't seen the lineup yet, but I imagine with Tanaka, you'll probably get Gary.
Gary is scary.
Yeah, you'll probably get Gary. But they have Carlos Carrasco going, who's a great story.
We bat him nine?
Yeah, I imagine.
Were you putting Gary at 9? Well,
speaking of which, by the way, let's also point this out. And again, I say this so many times. These are those moments where the geeks that Cashman has up in this. And I talked to a friend of mine who actually has seen the analytics department at Yankee Stadium. And what he told me about what he saw is fascinating. He said to me that Cashman gave him a tour of it one time, and he said, it looked exactly like a small version of a trading floor at Morgan Stanley. The same or better level of talent at the computers. And he said he was blown away by it. And you know, you imagine that's how much they've invested in this. So we could say that, you know, Aaron Boone, what a great call putting Brett Gardner in the game. And Brett Gardner was fantastic. 3 of 5, a home run, a double, 3 RBI, 2 runs scored, 7 bases total. You know, he was great. What a smart move that was, instead of Clint Frazier, who was struggling down the stretch to finish the season. But I guarantee you, whatever the geeks came up with told them Brett Gardner needs to play in this game. You know, like this is what you do. You put Brett Gardner here. This is what they're supposed to handle it this way. So once again, as we, you know, we panic about the Yankees, and I still have anxiety because I'm worried about the season still being in the hands of, in the left hand of Jay Happ eventually, if things don't go well tonight. I still have to go back and say, every time we doubt Cashman and his geeks, they turn around and go, you know, do you trust us now? Like, shut up. Because
Bieber was
unhittable all year, and they smacked
the
crap out of him in this game.
I mean, and listen, you tip your cap to the analytics department, everybody, right? But we know that this is where we expect to be. And no matter what, we're excited that, you know, it looks like it's going to go the way that, you know, we hope it will go, like at least that you're ahead. But until you win that World Series, this is just, you know, for us, this is just something that's expected. And you hope that this is the get-right series where they can propel, because we know what they're on a collision course with, you know, Tampa, and then, you know, maybe, you know, the Dodgers, if they cooperate, because they've let, you know, they've let baseball down as well over the couple of years. And they've had just maybe a little bit more misery than the Yankees over the last couple of seasons. They've had their heart broken a little bit more because they've been all in for the last, you know, three seasons. So let's see, you know, but so far so good. And listen, it's so much better than the alternative of coming in here and saying, man, did you see that game yesterday? I cannot believe we went and got Gerrit Cole. He got outshined by a dude that makes one-third his money, you know what I mean, or one-tenth his money, and say, you know what, you know, this is crazy because this guy just erased our white whale that we went out there, and we have to depend on J-Hap. So let's just hope that we take care of business. But it usually never works out that way. Listen, I understand what I'm saying, people. I'm saying it never works out that way because I hope that you guys can call me and say, see, Bart, shut the hell up. I'm doing that on purpose because really I just want to have this
negative reverse Reaper.
I'm going reverse Reaper so that hopefully y'all can come and tell me to shut up. Just know when y'all say that, I took one for the team.
I'm telling you right now, I feel like playoffs Tanaka is what I want to believe in. And his numbers, obviously, 1.76 ERA in the postseason and 8 starts, 37 strikeouts since 2015. You know, he has had big-time starts for the Yankees and in big moments, too, when they really needed him. So you feel like you should feel good about this. Carrasco's no scrub. He's good.
He should be able to get 5 solid innings. Like, it should be important for
and the bullpen is going to be available.
Innings and you're able to, you know, use this bullpen.
But
like
every time I believe in this team, Bart, even when they were winning 10 in a row and all that stuff, and you say to yourself, all right, they're back. And then they slip back into bad habits and bad at-bats, and you just keep waiting. Like, which team? Will the real Yankees please stand up? Aaron Judge, after the game, was asked that. Are these the real Yankees?
I believed in this team since day one. You know, we really weren't too concerned with, you know, where we finished. You know, we always want to go out there and win our division, you know, be the number one seed, like I know we're capable of doing, but we were able to do that. So, you know, we just decided to turn the page and go out there and just continue to play our game, you know, from the get-go. You know, this is a team that guys get on base, guys drive the baseball. We got a power pitching staff, and we decided to come out there and do that today. So, you know, it doesn't matter any situation, if we're the underdogs or, you know, for the top dog. It's just about showing up in pressure situations.
Can you just flip it like that? I don't know. Can you just flip it like that?
They sound so much like the Clippers. Man, this story sounds just like the Clippers. Oh. Like, no worries. We injured. We, you know, resting, getting guys back. Don't worry. We'll come back and just turn it on, man. It don't work that way, man. Like, you have to pay homage to the baseball guys, man. You can't cheat the process. And it seems like the Yankees are trying to cheat the process. They're ignoring the regular season, you know, and they thinking that it's going to come back and it's all going to click, man. And it doesn't work that way. So I hope that this is the real Yankees. I hope that maybe they can, you know, turn that switch on. But that remains to be seen. Very few stories start with, oh, they just turned the switch on. They were sleepwalking through the regular season. And, oh, they're the 8th seed, and they just turned it on, and now they're the favorites because they should have been the favorites the whole time. It shows a lack of concentration to me. And I understand that they were injured. But a lot of those games, they were a lot better than what their record, you know, showed. And we expect so much more. So that shows a lack of concentration. So do they get lax? Do they take their foot off the gas?
No, they can't.
Do they lose that sharpness?
No, come on.
It's easy to come out.
It's winning time. Bart, it's winning time. And they know it. There's no way. They'll have game plans. They will be ready to play. I just, again, the question, of course, is what kind of pitching will you get? And I'm not even worried as much about Tanaka as the bullpen. The bullpen has been spotty down the stretch in this season. It's had moments, and then it has had bad moments. So you wonder, what are you going to get out of the bullpen? Because I do think you will get to that bullpen in this game. Now, you remember Mark Teixeira was saying the same thing I was saying here, is that, like, the Yankees are so volatile that they could get swept in this first round, which obviously they won't now, or they could go all the way to the World Series. Like, that's the range for this team. They're so unpredictable. So after last night's game, what does Mark Teixeira think? He was on Get Up, and he was asked if the Yankees are now the favorites again to win.
Not yet. Again, it's such a crazy season in 2020. I do believe that the Yankees have the talent to get to the World Series. By the way, I think of the 16 playoff teams, realistically, 11 teams can get to a World Series, and the Yankees are obviously one of them. Now, the question will be, Gerrit Cole might be the best pitcher in the playoffs. Is Masahiro Tanaka that number two that you can put behind Cole and take him to the next level as well? And the Indians have a very good team. They're going to pitch Carlos Carrasco tonight, and then, if needed, Zach Plesac in game 3. So the series is not over, but what a great sign for Yankees fans that this lineup with so much power showed it last night.
That was important, and the preparation was certainly there. We got a little bit of breaking news from the NFL.
Can't wait.
We will get to calls on the Yankees here in a moment, but Diana Russini reporting that Sunday's game between the Steelers and Titans is now postponed. This is according to multiple sources, that they're considering all options, the NFL is, and that with Monday night being one of them, which that had been kicked around.
Yeah.
So while they haven't had major issues coming off the COVID testing, right? You saw what happened there, that you had Titans had new positives for three players and then the five personnel members as well coming off their game against Minnesota.
So
Minnesota so far has had zero positives, but they have closed their facility. The Titans have been shut down till Saturday, so you were waiting to see anything more. I believe there was one more positive with Tennessee. So now they're basically saying they cannot play Sunday, and the Steelers have been practicing all along preparing to play.
Right.
Now they might have to move the game at least to Monday if they don't postpone it entirely. But I imagine Ooh. They're probably erring on the side of caution here, right, Bart?
Can we have the rare Tuesday game?
A Tuesday game? I mean, you could, right?
Yeah, Monday. What's wrong with Tuesday?
I guess Tuesday would be like playing on Thursday. It's the same kind of week. It's just you reverse it.
Yeah.
Then you have your Wednesday off, and then you got to prepare for your Sunday game with not a lot of time.
Right, right. And you can maybe flex that Sunday game to like a night game.
A Tuesday NFL.
Ooh.
The NBA would hate that. Right? The final starts at night.
Because I don't know if you open up your facility, you don't want to have an unfair advantage for the Steelers because they're able to practice.
Yeah, game four would be Tuesday night for the NBA at 9 o'clock.
NBA Tuesday, 3 o'clock day game.
NBA would move their game. You think the NBA would move their game?
Yeah, NBA would be like, hold on.
No.
We had a COVID test. Hold on.
We're going to start our game at 7. Or we'll start our game at 6:30. Yeah,
Kelly Trpuka was in the bubble. And we
what? Kelly, why
everybody.
Kelly Trpuka? What are you going after him for?
Because I love him. Because one, he had the best curls outside of.
What's
the guy with the butt from Charles in Charge?
Buddy.
Tight curls.
Buddy. Yeah, Buddy had the tight curls.
And then you had
Trpuka had really
he had the white Jerry curl. Yeah,
he had a white Jerry curl.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's like tight curls. He was a good Piston too, you know what I'm saying? And I know he worked for the Knicks.
So. Yeah, no, I worked with him for a year. He tough guy, real tough guy. Great analyst. Back in the day, he had that hair.
It looked like he smoked Newport.
Ron Duguay had that kind of hair, too.
He smoked cigarettes. Like he had cigarettes in his sleeve of his shoulder. Like half cut off sleeve with a pack of Newports of Cool Menthol 100s in the side of it. How the hell we get on Kelly Trpuka?
You brought him. You just said he got into the bubble. So, again, the Yankees win 12-3. What a performance by Cole. 13 strikeouts. Judge with that early home run. 4 pitches into the game. LeMahieu and Judge just jump all over Bieber. They knew something. They clearly had the scouting report. They got him on the early fastballs, and they were tagging him on those fastballs. And it really didn't help because that crazy curveball that he has, breaking ball that just basically bounces in front of the plate, the guys weren't falling for it.
Stan was, but it's okay.
Yeah, Stan did look a little. But at least he got the, like I said, maybe he gets going. And maybe the Yankees now build off this as tonight you have Tanaka and Carrasco. And, of course, tonight we have the game on 98.7 ESPN Live. And then Chris Carlin, again, like last night, hosts a post-game show all the way to midnight, making your boy work.
Ooh.
All the way to midnight. You get your calls in and everything else. And we'll, of course, take the calls on the Yankees as well. And you know what? Who better to go to early on, talking Yankees, than Tessa from West Caldwell?
She's batting 100. What up, Tessa?
I'm always batting 100. At least my voice is sore now from cheering and not from screaming and crying. It feels so good. It feels so good to have a sore throat from yelling nicely, being encouraged.
Get some of that manuka, honey. You know what I'm saying? Hook you right on up. Charge it to the
ass. What about Vaseline? Steph Marbury.
Phrasing?
No. On Monday, I called, but I had to hang up because I had an emergency with work. And Bart, you was very lucky, so we just gonna leave it at that. Today, you was very lucky on Monday. But today, Alan, you know the word I'm gonna use for today? I'm so nerve-sighted. I've combined two words because Tanaka is the man, and I don't care. You know what? I'm not even gonna be skeptical because my other team, I'm already in a trash can with them with the paper bag on my head. So I have no choice but to get on this choo-choo train second and keep it going. I don't care. We're going to win tonight because you're right. I do not want to go to J-App. I think I prefer David Garcia. We're going to do our thing. Tanaka has always come through. So why would he not come through tonight? We're going to do our thing. I love Luke Voigt's confidence. That's what we need right now. They know they've been spotty. They know they've been Jekyll and Hyde. So they're going to show us. So, but Alan, come on. We got to believe. We have nothing else to believe in
when it comes
to our Jets and Giants. So you got to believe. It's not going to be 12-3 again. It might be 5-3. I don't know. But we got to believe. Everybody's clicking right now on the cylinders. DJ LeMahieu is the freaking man. That's why he won that batting title. He's the one that's going to start
pay
us
off. Got to pay him. I don't care how old he is. You got to give him. Yeah, he's too valuable.
This man is the man. Even when we was in our slumps, he wasn't. That's why he won the batting title. Think about that. He wasn't in the slump. That's why he won the batting title. As long as he gets a hit and Tanaka, I don't care if it's a spotty first inning, he's going to do what he got to do. We're going to win tonight, cash that in, and everything is going to be fine. And my Lakers going to win tonight, too.
Listen, we come together for this one because, listen, if the Yankees lose, man, then we got nothing to talk about around here. So
if the Yankees lose, I'm going to be as salty as you and worse. I'm telling you, I'm calling, crying.
J-Hap's the only one that wants to see J-Hap pitch a game three.
I tell you what.
I don't even think Aaron Boone wants. I think Aaron Boone's even like,
New York sports got me so depressed, I almost told my kids that Santa Claus wasn't real.
You want to do a project? She was like, what? I said, let's make paper bags. What are we doing, mommy? Making paper bags over mommy's head. I said, because that's how I feel when the Giants play on Sunday. Yeah, let's make paper bags. Bart, I'm right with you.
It's like carbon.
I don't even care. I'm right with both of you guys. Listen, you guys, absolutely love this show. I just want to just say that. Like, you guys are the absolute best. And it's like, I changed my work schedule for y'all 3 times. I don't care. I'll do it a 4th time. But you guys are the best. And I just appreciate you guys so much.
I love you, Tessa.
That's great. 800-919-3776.
Nancy Kerrigan does. That's why.
Easy does it. So like we said, we've got the buffet going for the whole show. No guests on this show today. It's just going to be you. You are the guest. You're part of the conversation. Obviously, heavy Yankees here early on. We'll get into NBA Finals, and we'll preview what we expect to see in this Finals. And what we'll see tonight is LeBron in his 10th Finals, looking for his 4th title and a lot of legacy on the line for him as well. So we'll get into that more in the noon hour. Blitzer preview coming up later on. But next, your calls. The latest also on the NFL as they have postponed Titans Steelers. Reports are, as Bart said, they could move it to Monday. They could also, as Bart suggested, move it to Tuesday.
It's never been
done
before.
Which would be unbelievable to see a Tuesday night NFL game. The NBA, by the way, game 4 of the finals would be Tuesday night.
We owe the NBA nothing. Y'all in our season, not vice versa. So we ain't making nothing. We doing what we got to do to get our games going.
Well, they don't. The NFL doesn't care. It's more the NBA going like, damn.
Everybody be like, man, come on, man.
People wouldn't want to see LeBron finish off a sweep versus Titans Steelers week 4?
Hell no. They want to see Titans Steelers because they would know it's going to be a bloodbath.
If it's 3-0 Lakers, you don't think that that game would get at least a competitive rating versus the NFL?
Nah, I think they'll Devo it. I mean, you talk about Titans. Damn. Those are 2 playoff teams.
Whip it good. People still Devo?
I mean, I still got mine. I mean, I still got a sling. What you call it? A sling thing?
Careful.
It's like the little thing where you can listen to your cable box when you're away.
Sling box.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, son.
I did know what you were talking about. I just wanted to get you there. That's all. NFL, though, with some breaking news here, as now that the league has put out...
Can't wait!
So now they've made it official. Steelers-Titans, originally scheduled for Sunday at 1, will be rescheduled to allow additional time for further daily COVID-19 testing and to ensure the health and safety of players, coaches, and game day personnel. The league then says in the statement, details on the new game date and time on either Monday or Tuesday will be announced as soon as possible. So there was one more positive from the Titans, and it was a player. So now that makes it 4 players and 5 staff members tested positive going into their game over the weekend. So they, against the Vikings have had 0 positives. So they press on. They'll continue. The Steelers are allowed to practice all week.
Right. I mean,
the Titans facility is completely shut down, and they won't allow that. Right now, they're saying they won't open until Saturday. So while the Steelers will have now an extra day, even or two, to prepare for their game, the Titans might only have about 2 days at best.
Yeah.
To get ready for this game.
But technically, right, what they can do and what the NFL can do and what the Titans can do is you have essentially your Friday practice, which is a dress rehearsal. You have that on your first day. Then you have your physical day on Saturday. You know, because they can do the Zoom. So you talk about three-day preparation, right? So you talk about
So
you go Saturday, Sunday. If you play on Tuesday, it's the perfect way to do it, right? It's good. Who cares? There's no fans in there anyway. Who cares? Mm-hmm. All you got to do is film the game. You can show the game live on freaking NFL Network. Who cares, right? But if you do that, then everybody's going to have their normal preparation because you have, you know, Saturday be their Wednesday.
Well, I just mean the Steelers
Thursday.
Get extra days. That's
yeah,
all.
But at the end of the day, like if the other team gets 3 days of preparation, then it don't matter. Like it's no advantage that way. You know what I mean? Because you don't know what you're going to come out with. So if they move it to Tuesday, I mean, I think that would be the perfect time. But they much rather probably try and get it Monday. But if I was the NFL, I'd say, listen, if I can squeeze another day of juice where I know I can get big numbers because it's the only NFL game planned on Tuesday, then I'd rather do it on Tuesday because you don't have to inconvenience any fans. You keep the refs that were on the staff. You just tell the referees, they just stay to Tuesday before they go on to their next assignment. Yeah. And it really inconvenienced nobody. The only people that's inconvenienced are the teams, and the teams want to much rather do that than have a bye week and have to come back and make the game up later in the season where you know that game could be a pivotal game against two opponents that your team can look totally different because injuries, you know, will be occurred near the end of the season, later in the season. So you want to be able to try and win and play tough opponents. They're both equally tough while both of you guys have the array of most of your players.
I'll tell you what. This is definitely the week five is when you want to play the Steelers now. It's going to be, you know, if they play on Tuesday,
yeah.
You want to be the team that plays the Steelers in week five.
Who they have week five? They might
got to look that up.
In
the meantime,
they might have a bum sandwich. So it's like it could be a dress.
We'll see.
You know,
yeah. 800 now. Let me check.
Jets.
They play the Eagles. Oh, yeah. Philly would love this.
They worry about Philly. Philly can't block no damn body with J.J. Watt and Bud Dupree, barbecue chicken.
All right, let's grab some calls here. Let's go to T.J. in the Bronx on the Yankees. T.J.
What's up? Yeah, two things. One thing is I want to give a shout out to, like, the Yankees with the impressive turnout. Didn't expect that. And the second thing is Tanaka got to follow that. Cole yes. set the ball pretty high, and that's very impressive. Thank you for the call. And a quick shout out to Magic City Kitchen. The food is good.
Magic City, yeah. Hey, forget the wings. I want that special sauce.
Amazing.
Thank you, TJ. I appreciate it.
I mean, yeah, of course it's going to be a tough act to follow with Garrett Cole, but Garrett Cole's brought in.
I don't need him to give me 13 strikeouts. I just need him to be good at least for five innings.
Clean five innings, go to the bullpen.
He's going
to
give up an early home run. He always does. It's just as long as it's a solo home run.
You just hope that Carrasco got it going. You hope they analytic department ain't figured something out about how to pitch these guys and have them chasing. You know, what I was impressed with was the plate discipline late when you think about the Beavs when he started throwing those curveballs.
Well, they were waiting for the fastball. Yeah, they were just waiting for it. They knew it was going to come. I mean, how about A-Rod with that call on the Torres hit where he said, what was it? It was six straight curveballs.
Yeah.
Or breaking balls, I should say. And then he kept telling him, like, you got to be sitting on the fastball. And he struck out looking at the fastball.
Yep.
And the next time around, though, he was ready for it. The next time around, he was better prepared, but they were sitting on that fastball, and they did a great job on him. The preparation for this game was great. Now, will they have the same for a guy like Carrasco? They really haven't seen much of it. Hasn't pitched a lot in the postseason, but when he has, he's been successful. So that is something. The pitching matchup tonight is something to watch for sure.
At one point, A-Rod said, hey, that Beavs had threw 21 fastballs and only got a strike and miss on like two of them. You know what I mean? So, like, that fastball didn't have no life. You know what I mean? And it didn't look like – I don't know how he got
the issue with the – all right, so the issue with him was he got too much of the plate. A lot of middle-of-the-zone pitches, which is rare for him. And 10 hard-hit balls was the most he's given up. And the worst swing and miss percentage, too. You know, he wasn't. Normally, he's got one of the highest in the league.
Yeah.
And the Yankees were also, as you mentioned, very disciplined. They chased only 14 of his 56 pitches that he threw out of the strike zone.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, he kept looking at the mound like it wasn't packed tight. Who was that for the Yankees?
Buster only was mentioning that, but
that was Paxton. Remember, Paxton hated the Yankees mound, said it was too loose. You know what I mean? He wanted something to push off of. And I don't know if it had been moisture there, because he kept looking down at his feet like maybe
Cole didn't have any issues.
Well, you know, Cole got a bazooka. You know what I mean? So bazooka, you don't have to rely on all that body momentum. He just flick it out there.
Ton.
You know what I mean?
I hear you. Doug in Long Island. Doug.
Hey, Alan. Hey, Bart. How you guys doing?
Good.
Maintaining. What it do?
Oh, man, it's good, boy. I guess that's why they gave our man the money. He pitched like a beast. It was really good. And just great. And then, hey, Bart, I want to tell you, my uncle is the legendary Jim Brown. You may not know that, Alan. And Bart, he always said you play the position like a man. And that's a hell of a compliment.
Doug, did you hear him yesterday breaking down the Ravens defense, what they should have done against Kansas City? Did you hear that yesterday? Yes. It was insane.
Yes, he's really just
savant.
Analytical. I mean, he's a real cerebral guy. I mean, nobody's perfect, but he's a real cerebral man. Even when he would break down, like you could ask Steve one day, would break down our Pop Warner football stuff. You got to hit the hole. He'd tell me, he said, stop picking your nose and hit the damn hole. You know, he would, you know, in other words, get it done. Stop playing around in there. And then lastly, guys, this coaching situation is crazy. I talked to Billy Donovan the night that it went down with him, and you know, I know obviously Doc and Ty very well. I just I wish the best for him. I think, to me, Doc got a little bit of a raw deal, but none of those guys ever complain. They know what – they're like anybody. They're like my brother. Those guys – one of my cousins is like, I'm never watching the Knicks again. And Steve's like, are you crazy? I had an opportunity. It doesn't work out. It doesn't always work out right away. Yeah. But those guys are good coaches, Ty and Doc. And I just don't think Doc can be held responsible for guys not performing well. And I'm not one of these guys. I played a little basketball myself. You're not going to be great every single game. And fans tend to say, oh, he choked. He stuck. No, he just didn't have – the guys just didn't shoot well in that game. It's a part of basketball.
Yeah,
that's why you have 12, 13 pros that are being paid to play. Other guys have to pick up the slack.
No doubt.
I don't know.
Doug, appreciate the call, man. I love the insight, as always. Thank you. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Spike in New Jersey. Hey, Spike.
Okay, fellas, here we go. Gonna give you my Yankee preview. I call a lot of programs, and I've been saying the same thing for a week. I'll play them in the parking lot. And the expression is that you get what you pay for, and it sure paid off for Cole last night. Now, with Tanaka, he's 9-1 or 8, whatever. He has 5-3 with a 1-point something. The umpire is—I need help on this, for you guys. The third-base umpire goes to the plate tonight?
Nah, I couldn't tell you. I haven't.
Okay, well,
I don't know. Okay. Is that the rotation? I don't know.
Okay, it's the first base or the third base umpire. Well, first of all, the umpire was very, very good last night. Excellent. Established the strike zone. And Tanaka throws about 90%. You know how I do these things, Alan. I'm always analyzing and breaking it down. That's what I like to do. Tanaka throws about 90% of the pitches, believe it or not, between the knee and the ankle. So if he gets it, he'll let one up, Bart, and he'll hit a home run, but so what? Give me 5 2/3, one run, and three hits, and who cares?
Oh, you get a lot of sign up for that right now. Yeah. Absolutely.
You're going to get a lot of ground balls. Bart, I need a favor from you. You ready?
I'm ready. What you got for me, Spike?
I want you to do in your best John Mason voice, number 19, Masahiro Tanaka, pitching tonight.
I don't know if I can pull that one out, man.
But I want you. You have to do it now. Think about it. Mason was my second favorite all-time PA announcer next to Zinkoff.
I'm gonna give it a shot, man. Let me get in front of the mirror. Let me warm my throat up. Get ready. You know, do my do re mi fa sol la ti to. Get it right.
Wait. Do, re, mi.
Do, la, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, Tito. Tito.
Well, how did Tito Jackson get involved in this?
Like, Tito's in everything, man, because he's the forgotten Jackson. You know what I'm saying? Everybody want to talk about Jermaine because he was smooth. Tito was just greasy.
You just add Tito at the end of this. Oh, my God. Ice-T3K tells us that the first base umpire now goes behind the plate tonight. Home plate umpire gets the day off because he goes to third. That's so I never pay attention to that stuff. Like, the NBA put out the officials for the finals. I looked at the list, but it's like people make a big deal. You know who makes a big deal about it, of course, is people that are putting money on the game. I mean, that's obviously a big story for them, but it's never been something that I have put that much focus on. But it does matter in certain matchups, as you know, when it's, you know, like Angel Hernandez or something like that. Like that, then you know you got a problem. But aside from that, I mean, there's other people, you know, Joe West. I mean, you know, you'll keep an eye out because of the way they call a game, but I don't know. We got the answer for you. That's why we did that. But we've got other things to talk about in the world of sports. And again, the number is 800-919-3776. Let's get to Blitz or Prevent.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
All right, this is a little lengthy now, so bear with me on the first item that we have for you today, Bart. As the NBA Finals begin tonight with LeBron looking for his fourth NBA title, a little legacy in Lakers history. And the NBA is also looking to complete their three-month run in a bubble of COVID-free basketball. But one former champion...
Good old JR.
One former champion likened it to pickup basketball. Ooh. Who do you think that was?
Oh, pickup basketball? I'm going to go with my man Zeke.
No, it was Scottie Pippen, actually. And said...
My cousin.
Yes, your cousin Scottie Pippen said in an interview with Business Insider, quote, "It's not NBA basketball. It's not the hard grind." Phrasing. "It's not the travel, it's not the fans, it's not the distractions. Really, to me, it's pickup basketball. It's going to the gym. Yeah, you already got your team, you're practicing together, but it's more a pickup type of basketball game because there's no fans in the stands. There's no distraction, no real noise, there's no pressure on players." He then used Rajon Rondo, the Lakers guard, as an example, saying he hasn't been a good three-point shooter in his career, and yet we see him shooting over 40% in the playoffs this year. He said, "There's a whole lot of things that make the NBA hard. The bubble makes the NBA easy to me. There's no travel. That's a killer itself. So you're sleeping in the same bed every night. You're walking to the gym. You're not having to go to a 25, 50-minute bus ride to the arena. You're not having to probably even sit in the arena for 2 hours before the game, talk to the media, deal with all the outside stuff that they're trying to pull you into and make some distraction. And, you know, throw the team in a loop. So it's a different game, but it's very entertaining." So, Blitz or Prevent. Pippen has a point, but he's missing that the bubble presents a much different challenge. Players spend most of the time away from family and Instagram models, of course. There's also no escape, no way of blowing off steam, and there's a monotony about it. If anything, the challenge is to stay focused and disciplined. So this championship, Bart, still holds merit. Your thoughts?
It holds merit. It creates different... different challenges that players weren't equipped for. Like, we're equipped for handling, you know, being on the road. We're equipped for being able to, you know, be in a hotel in a foreign place. But, you know, we even equip and learn how to hydrate properly from travel. But what we don't prepare for, what we haven't prepared for, is being stuck in a place with the confines of being stuck. It's almost like being in a mini prison. It's a good prison, so let's call it federal penitentiary. You know what I mean? It's like being stuck in a fair. It's like you can't go and leave it at your own will. You know, you lose a sense of freedom.
I would not really parallel it with being in a federal prison.
Well, what I'm saying is federal prison is much easier than regular prison.
It's a five-star hotel.
Yeah, it's much better than regular prison. I mean, I knew, you know, my uncle did 11 years in prison. He said he was able to leave as long as he was back by 11 o'clock. How that happened, I have no idea.
What?
Yeah, I had an uncle did. My cousin Woody. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we need to go deeper into
my
this.
Cousin Woody, he did 11 years in the federal penitentiary. And then, like, a certain
But yet
time,
he could leave and come back?
Yeah, he said it was fine. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's the halfway house part of it. But, you know, he was in there for 11 years, man. He said it wasn't so bad.
No, not so bad. Three squares a day, roof over your head.
Yeah, I mean, you get fresh tomatoes if you're a made man up in that piece, man. You know what I'm saying? Stirring the sauce. You know what I'm saying? But you
is
know,
that what they call it now?
But I'm not going to go before I get to wrap it up, B. I'm not going to go against Scotty, though. That's my cousin. That's my blood. Why am I going against Scotty?
Well, again, I think he's – I get it's his
different.
Point.
It's different,
but it's still – there's a different challenge to it. The discipline and the focus that you have to maintain. The Clippers couldn't do it.
But what he's talking about is the role players. And Rondo, because he's not afraid of being booed or shooting an airball free throw, so now he's emboldened. We always used to hear the stories about Dennis Rodman hitting all these 44 free throws in a row. He get in the game, he choked. Right, so it's an element to that, being booed and being made fun and being afraid to take shots in front of big crowds when you know it's going to be an instant reaction. So I'm going with my man Scotty. You know,
I wonder
the Pippen nose. Everybody in my family, I'm so happy I didn't get that ugly bridge on my nose. Oh, everybody else in my family, all my cousins look like a beak.
The point is, though, is that it'll be interesting to see now that this is the finals. Yeah. I wonder if there'll be a little more nerves. Like, you know, again, the young players that the Heat have, a Tyler Hero especially, is like 12.
I tell you what.
Like, will it affect them?
I tell you what, if I see Rajon Rondo's brother talking stuff to Jimmy Buckets, he might get his ass kicked.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, he might get that. You know, he talks stuff to everybody else.
That could be something.
He going to deal with first man. He's going to deal with first man. Going to come over there and do what he got to do. He's going to pound on him like King Kong, like Donkey Kong.
Speaking of first man, this is the man right now of the NFL. That's Patrick Mahomes. And by the way, his mama said to call him Patrick. He and his wife, Brittany, or his fiancée, I should say, Brittany. They're not married yet, but they announced on social media Tuesday that they will soon be having a baby. Now, they've been together for years, and they recently became engaged. In fact, it was the same day that Mahomes got his Super Bowl ring.
She
got one.
She's like, shoot up the clubs. Way to get him, girl. Way to get him. Because once you saw that half a Billy, you're going to have to compete with the whole America. It was going to be like Bachelor. Like, oh, he ain't putting no ring on it. Hey,
remember,
Patrick.
So the Chiefs and Mahomes at 3-0 this season after smashing your Ravens on Monday Night Football. He won the Super Bowl in February. He signed the richest contract in U.S. sports history in the summer. Also bought part ownership of the Kansas City Royals.
Yep.
But it's a prevent.
And shot up
Mahomes might be the only person in America who would say 2020 was a great year.
Yeah, yeah. He batting 1,000 right now. Ooh. And shot up the club. And his little Michael Phelps made it to pay dirt. You know what I'm saying? So you look at Mahomes, he batting 1,000 right now. The only thing that can mess up 2020 for him is at the beginning of 2021, he loses the Super Bowl. That's the only thing that would make it like,
still a great year. Hey,
but yeah, still a great
he's
year.
He's the only one singing Sinatra's. It was a very good year.
Yeah,
no
exactly.
one else is. Look, everybody hates 2020. Everybody.
Patrick
everyone
Mahomes.
Hates this year. He's like, this is the year of his life.
So Garrett Cole,
he's
going to
be a daddy.
Like,
he's getting married. He won a Super Bowl. He's Super Bowl MVP. He just got $100 million. $450 million. Like, this is the best year anybody could ever have in the worst year that everybody else is having.
Trizzle. You just want to grab his little hair. And he even got a Head and Shoulders commercial with Palomalu.
Yeah.
Damn it.
He's got that, too.
And his hair is nowhere as good as Palomalu. It's not even the same stratosphere. I'd much rather see Palomalu and Dan Marino on a hair commercial, man.
Dan Marino's got a good coif. Got to admit.
Great curls. Tight
Serious.
Curls. Original curls. You know
Serious
what I mean?
Business, yeah. No doubt. All right, last but not least. And Anthony's going to get a little emotional here, so everybody just, you know, get a tissue. This is where Tito Jackson does come in. Tito,
bring me a tissue. He's going to cry in the car.
King Henrik has left the building. Today, the Rangers are expected to announce something that has been speculated for months. The team, they have announced it. Okay, so it is officially announced. The team will buy out the remainder of Henrik Lundqvist's contract. Here's the King in January. Back all the way in January, talking about his legacy.
I will always feel like a Ranger, you know. Doesn't matter. In 10, 15 years when I'm done playing, it doesn't matter, you know.
Just like, it's too winter.
The things I've experienced here, it's pretty amazing. So, yeah, that will never change no matter what.
Did he say 10 or 15 years from now when I'm through playing? What the hell are you going to play? Canada? Europe? Where are you going to play? Turkey?
I don't know whether to laugh or cry.
But you know, I like this little radio, his TV show.
Hang on, I haven't gotten to it. I haven't gotten to the question yet.
Oh.
All right, so he had an $8.5 million cap left on his deal. No trade clause, which is the only way that they could clear the salary, and they're making moves. They also moved member Mark Stahl to Detroit, another foundational piece from their nice run in the 2010s, to open up cap space. They're now officially handing the reins over to Igor Shesterkin, who has a great debut this season. Everybody's excited about his possibilities. Now, the goalie mantle for the Rangers has been fantastic, from Richter to Lundqvist, now to Shesterkin. But it's an end of an era for hockey in New York. Lundqvist was the face of the Rangers for a decade. Remember, he led them to the Stanley Cup Finals in 2014. He won the Vezina in 2012, a five-time finals for that trophy, by the way. That's the best goalie in the league. So he's the Rangers' all-time leader in many different goaltending categories. So Blitzer Prevent, Lundqvist now joins the likes of Patrick Ewing and Don Mattingly as beloved New York athletes who came close but never won a championship. Am I missing any others?
No, correct. You're correct, man. Curtis Martin wasn't here long enough. Oh, man. Is it any Jets that stood
Bart
around
Scott?
Deserted? No, I wasn't here long enough. It was, wow. You could say Nick Mangold. I mean, because I think, I call him baby. I call him Fat Thor. You know what I mean? I thought that, he was here for a long time, and he played it for a long time. You know, like Fat Thor in the last one, man.
How dare you?
That's his nickname. I call him that to his face.
So
Fat Thor.
He's Thor when Thor just gives up?
Yeah, he's Fat Thor. You know what I'm saying? But even before they made that movie, I called him Fat Thor. I mean, because, he had the long hair, and he had the beard and stuff. Like Fat Thor.
I get the reference. It's just, it's very disrespectful.
But it's funny, too. I'm a habitual line stepper.
You
man.
Really
you
know are. So anyway, Lundqvist, Ewing, Mattingly, I mean, that's pretty much it. Of guys who were loved by New York fans and did not win a title.
Man, I hope we don't have to one day add Jacob DeGrom to that one. Oh, man. I do not want to have to do that one. I hope he's not on deck, man.
Tell you what, that's a really good one.
Yeah, man.
That's a great one. That's a club you don't want to join.
Yeah.
And you're right. People right now, that was going to be my leading question. You might have answered it. So, again, that was Blitzer Prevent. Great job by you. I think I might have dominated that because I'm enjoying my writing.
Let me see a Fat Thor call in. Yeah, I can get him on air.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't call him Fat Thor on the air.
I'm supposed to call him Skinny.
But the question, though, I have, so you have Lundqvist now with Mattingly, with Ewing.
Yeah.
Beloved athlete who played in New York for a long time and didn't win a title. You mentioned DeGrom. Are there any others right now that you could say would be on that list of beloved New York athletes to win a title?
Look at you,
or maybe
up,
potentially could be on that list.
Man, look at you coming up with a question mid show. So put it out there to the fans.
We just did.
Somebody out there. Oh, duh.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.